Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everyone. Thursday is upon us, and once again, that means it's time for more Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. This is episode 20, and it comes out on 02-2020. So that means we have a 2020 in 2020. We also happen to have a Friday the 13th coming up in March. And have something special planned for the show that comes out the day before, on March 12th. Speaking of that date, one of today's guests has a show coming out that date. And speaking of Friday the 13th, the Dave Holly Hour presents all things superstitious and spooky for the Sky Lounge Trivia Night. So far, this is starting off with a lot of speaking ofs. Speaking of the Sky Lounge, Miss Carries, Elijah the Fashionista, and I took in Jesse Moffat's hypnosis show over the weekend. That leads us to this week's honorable mention. Roberta Hinberg plays darts at the Sky. She's also a regular at our trivia nights. Jesse hypnotized Roberta, and quite well, I might say. Not only did Roberta make me laugh this week, she made pretty well everyone at the bar laugh, too. So for tickling my funny bone this past week, Roberta, you are this week's honorable mention. And your husband Chad happened to video the whole thing, so you're going to have memories for a long time. All right, allow me one more speaking of. One of this week's conversations is another hypnotist. Speaking of Jesse being a hypnotist, well, our guest is another hypnotist slash comedy magician slash mentalist. Zach Tenabo, a.k.a. Z Stonish, has a new show he's performing called Deceptions. It premieres at the Hotel on Phillips in downtown Sioux Falls coming up March 12th. But our first conversation today is with former KDLT TV morning show co-host and one of the most energetic guys you'll see on stage. Simon Floss is next on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back. It is wonderful to be with you once again on a weekend eve. Thursday has come around once again, which means we are on another episode, and this one's fun. We can see clearly for sure because this is episode 20. On February 20 of 2020.
Woo!
We hit them all, Simon Floss.
There's a lot going on there, Dave.
There's a lot going on there. Simon Floss, great to have you.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you so much.
Great to actually sit across the table, shake your hand, and say welcome, and nice to know you now, because we've been friends on Facebook.
Yes.
Because some mutual friendships and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Have seen you perform many times already with Goodnight Theater Collective.
It's such an incredible, incredible group, you know.
They are amazing. Yeah. And I keep telling Bob and also everybody else that's involved, I see, you know, you guys just keep hitting it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie and I, as a couple, and then the friends that go along with us, we're always like, boy, how can they top this one? Then we go to the next show.
Always find a way to do
always.
It. Always. In some capacity or another. It's just, you know, I'd done theater in college, and that was, you know, singing and dancing is always just kind of like a big part of my life. And graduating theater, you know, I went right into broadcasting and pretty much thought about that exclusively and forgot about theater and wanted to get back into it. And I had seen, you know, some of the performances and shows that Goodnight had done. and was just blown away. And when I auditioned, I was just, you know, hoping and praying that they would maybe take a chance on me. And and it's worked out, and I could not be happier. Yeah. I mean, it's just so, it fills your soul to perform with people who are so passionate about quality theater and performances. And and then on the flip side of that, you just become such good friends with them. It's if there's anybody in the Sioux Empire listening who wants to get involved in theater in any capacity, I cannot plug it enough. Goodnight Theater Collective is incredible.
Yeah, so it's a great way, you know, especially if you know, you want to do more of the singing and dancing and so forth, mm-hmm. compared to just memorizing hundreds of lines.
Yes, which that's fun too.
True.
Yeah,
and all of it's good, but the interesting thing. As I talked to Bob and to Martha and everybody associated with it, is just the fact that all of the arts community in this town seems to put its arms around everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so fun to get to realize that, too. But I do have to ask, when you got the audition and got the part then for Goodnight, did you do a dance? Because I have follow-up questions for this, too.
Okay. All right. Did I dance in...
I know you danced in production.
Well, No. I mean, like...
That's what you heard.
That's what I'm saying. Was I... Did I rejoice dance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Of course I did.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. What's the follow-up one? I'm nervous now.
Next questions. Have you ever been to a Maroon 5 concert? Have you been to one of their shows live?
No, I haven't.
So that means they have not seen you dance.
No, they haven't.
Okay, because I was going to say, if they have, they would have to rename their song. It's not Moves Like Jagger. It's Moves Like Simon.
Oh, come on, Dave.
I was worn out watching you the first time I ever saw you on stage in the Dudes Sing Divas.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was just amazing.
That was one of the most fun shows I had ever done. It's just, you know, I gonna sound like a broken record here tonight. It's just so much fun. And the reason it's so much fun is because you do it with people who you grow to love and who obviously love putting on incredible performances and just, yeah. And I'm glad you can tell that it's very authentic when I get up there, and it just shines right out of me. I just love singing and dancing so much. It's one of my favorite things in the world. So thank you.
All right. Well, we'll get back to Goodnight in a little bit. I want to go backward first. I knew immediately you were going to be a great guy because you're a fellow Northwest Iowan.
Oh, yeah. Okoboji.
Yeah. You're Okoboji. I'm mm-hmm. Rock Rapids. But
are you?
Know well about Okoboji. Dry Dock.
Yep. Oh, Dry Dock Lounge. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Got to have a Reuben and a mm-hmm. with a Bloody Mary and a beer chaser.
And their, you know, if you're...
Their breakfast is
I was just going to say, the biscuits and gravy. That is a good time. That is a good time.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we know our landmarks over at the lakes.
Hey, have you been to, in recent years, the newly renovated Captain's Getaway? That place just really stepped up their game. It's incredible.
Have not. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that because... we usually do day trips over in the summer.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah,
good deal.
Because it's a little spendy to try and find a place to stay over there. But
yeah.
We do that. growing up in the Milford and going to Okoboji High.
Mm-hmm.
And was it, by the time you started, was it Okoboji?
Yes.
It was
Okoboji and actually had been for a little while there. Yeah. I think it was... I'm not sure when the name changed from Milford to Okoboji, but you know, there's Okoboji and Spirit Lake, and maybe 6 miles in between.
Exactly,
and that's about it. So
incredible.
But
did you do a theater in high school as well?
Yes,
you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always just loved doing theater in any capacity. The first play that I remember doing was in eighth grade, and it was called I think it was American Idol. It was like one of those reality TV shows, and I had to memorize, I think it was 181 lines.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was terrified getting that part, but it all worked itself out. And from that moment on, I kind of had a hankering for it and was just like, yeah, I really want to do this as much as possible. And my parents tell me when I was a young lad that I would just run around the house in my underwear and sing a dance all the time. And maybe that is a little bit too much information, but hey, this is radio.
No, I saw they can't you in Rocky see. Horror Picture.
Yeah. Hey. Yes. Yep. That was the thing that happened.
It comes around.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
But yeah, no. Did theater in middle school, like there that eighth grade year, and then all throughout high school and in college too as well. So
Where'd you go to college?
I went to USF here, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, University of Sioux Falls.
Awesome. So Kim Bartling.
Yes. Yeah, she was there my my freshman year, and then she left, and KJ came, and then my really good friend Joe Obermuller stepped in, and that guy's just fantastic. So is Kim. That whole program is just... It's amazing. You know, I try and get back there as often as I can, but I've been kind of busy the last couple of years.
I understand. No doubt about that. All right. So what's been a favorite part then that you've had?
Oof. Let's see. I would have to say I really liked Brad in Rocky Horror. It was so fun. And it was kind of one of the easier and tamer ones to play out of that show. So... I mean, that kind of worked out to my benefit because my parents came to that show too, so it wasn't too far out there for them. But I really liked that because it was just a big jam fest. Like rehearsals just felt like a party. You know, the crew that that Bob and Luke and Martha and everybody put together for that show was just incredibly talented and so funny and so fun and just. You know, you lose yourself in the music up there nightly at rehearsals. And also, that was the week of Rocky Horror. yeah, I kind of wonder how I made it through there because after our rehearsals and performances, I actually had to go overnight produce the morning show.
Wow.
And then anchor it that following morning at KDLT. So I slept maybe... 3 hours a day, and it was
goodness gracious.
Yeah, yep. But it was great. I wouldn't have traded it for the world. It was incredible.
All right. So some of these dance moves you have you patented any?
No.
Or have you put any copyrights, trademarks?
I tried to do the floss dance move, but someone already got that one before I could put my hands on it. Actually, you know, ashamedly enough, I do have a move called the Simon Step that I unveiled in Okoboji at Captain's Getaway when we were growing up, you know, and and so it's basically a box step and just add in a little sauce.
A little flair.
Yeah.
Sauce. I like that. That's a good word for that. Right. So you are in another Goodnight Theater Collective show coming up.
They keep
it
me busy.
Is Alvin Fletcher's surprise 34th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not Alvin Fletcher.
No, I'm not. Okay. No. I can tell you my role.
Okay.
I am Bruce, one of the other... characters' boyfriends in the play.
Okay.
And, musical, excuse me. And, you know, the only thing that we can really give away is just that it's a group. I'll talk about the plot here. It's a group of friends that have kept in contact since college, and they want to throw their friend, Alvin Fletcher, a surprise 34th birthday. And the hours leading up to it, some skeletons come out of the closet, and some chaos ensues, and it's just a fun time.
Do we get mayhem as well?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I can't reveal too much.
Well,
I want to. But,
I know you would be itching to, but I don't want you to because we've got tickets for the Sunday.
Oh,
the
you do?
Day, yes.
Good deal. Yeah. That's one of the, well, that's the only show left.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you guys, once again, sell out.
Yeah.
Because it's just been, I remember, I think it was the second episode of the Dave Holly Hour that Bob was on.
Yes. Yeah.
And we talked about how it started, and he says, you know, we were hoping maybe we'd get 50 people and so forth. And now you sell out shows, you add shows, you keep going.
And there's 50 performers, basically.
Yes,
I think 60 guest artists. Yeah,
exactly.
It's huge.
And so that's great. And it gets so many people excited. And it's a great business model because then with all those people that show up to be in different casts means more people learn about it, get excited about it, and come see what Sioux Falls has going on with this group.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my opinion, you guys are one of probably the top three arts and entertainment things that has sprung up over the past few years.
Really?
That's just made such a difference and made made this arts and entertainment community thrive of late. So
thank you
guys for doing that. And it's people like you because, you know, that's one of the things, you know, just like community theater, you go see somebody that isn't able to make it as a living as an actor or an actress or a musician, but they still have a love for being in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way for people to see newscasters such as your former self.
Yeah. Well, and it's still kind of am, but
well,
yeah.
Well, true. Yeah, yeah. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
Sure, I'd love to.
But, you know, in the meantime, it's just such a great way for so many people to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fun to watch, and it's been fun to watch you in at least, you know, from my point of view, from the first time I saw you to each time you come back up on stage. And I'm looking forward to yet another stellar performance. Do you get to dance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We get
is
to
that
dance.
Is that a prerequisite for you now?
It is, yeah.
Okay. If I'm
on the audition form, yes, I have to dance. Yeah.
Speaking of auditions, do you have to re-audition for each show?
No, not for each show. They set
go
it up
once a year, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they do that. I think it's middle or end of July. I could be misremembering as far as the dates go there, but it really is convenient. I mean, you audition one time, you know, a year, which that does put a lot of pressure on you where it's like, hey, you better knock it out of the park if you want to do a lot of these shows. And there's, again, so many good shows and so many good themes that they come up with that, yeah, it's, again, a little bit of pressure there, but if you knock it out of the park and really feel confident about what you did, you can get cast in as many shows as you see fit because they have you check the dates that you're available for shows and everything like that too. So it's set up really, really well. They definitely thought it through.
That they did.
Yeah.
And if they ever have a part for a 57-year-old gray beard, bald head, overweight man that knows two songs by heart.
What are they?
Mac the Knife.
Okay.
And then my other favorite, I do a pretty killer imitation of Louis Armstrong with What a Wonderful World.
Oh, maybe one of these days
so,
on your
you
show,
know,
you
never
should
know.
Unveil that.
Well, otherwise, just follow when I go to karaoke. And I think you need to karaoke.
Hey,
do
I would
enjoy
go.
That?
Yeah. I like karaoke. Yeah. It's fun time.
You
yeah.
look like the type of guy that would get up there. And then, of course, it won't be just standing with a microphone. The microphone will have to go with you wherever you are on the floor. All right. In this show, though, let's get back to that for a moment.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing about a podcast such as mine. Off the rails, whatever we want.
And then we can bring it back.
Yeah, we can.
Whenever. Yeah,
we can. So with Alvin Fletcher's 34th surprise birthday, this is another Luke Tatchy show,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
another
absolutely.
Original.
Mm-hmm. He, you know, Luke is, I consider Luke one of my very good friends. And he has a mind on him, in him, I guess. I'm making this really awkward right now. He's going to laugh and cringe here listening to this. But he is one of the smartest people I know. You know, he writes all of the music. He writes all of the lyrics. He writes all of the scenes. He puts in so much incredible detail into everything that he creates, and it really shows on stage. I mean, last year when I went to the daytime soap opera, I told him afterwards that it reminded me of like an 80s Arrested Development, but with with music. And he, you know, he said that he was very flattered, but it was so true. I mean, the amount of thought that he puts into these things is absolutely incredible. Yeah, I'm just lucky to be able to call him a friend and someone who I perform alongside. And he, you know, gives us incredible material that you can knock right out of the park. He's a fantastic human.
See, when I saw that show, it reminded me of missing some classes in college. Soap opera fans, yes. They should have had a major in that. I'd have done much better. All right. So what do you expect in the future for you in terms of the acting and singing and dancing?
You know, I just kind of want to keep doing what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Sioux Falls. I love the Sioux Empire and where I'm at. And, you know, I got a good thing going. And why would you try and, you know, mess that up or change that in any way? Because, yeah, I mean, I think it shows when I'd like to think that it shows when I get up on stage. And it's just one of the things that brings me the most amount of joy. And it's here. You know, it's with the people who are in the Sioux Empire, the area. I think I'm going to stick around here for a while. So you're stuck
good.
With me, Dave. You're
I like that. That's a good thing. Let's talk about what you're doing now. Because
yeah.
Many are familiar that you were part of the morning team on KDLT.
Yes.
Before the merger took place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you found yourself getting a different job after that.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
So you're with Sanford now.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yeah, so I joined there, Sanford Health News, actually, as a multimedia journalist, which is a big fancy name for a TV reporter. So essentially, I'm doing a lot of the same stuff that I was doing at KDLT, and actually, I did work at KSFY before that, too. But it's just at Sanford with, you know, everything that's themed medically, and also a nice little cherry on top type thing here is I don't have to wake up at 2 a.m. anymore. So that was, you know, that kind of sealed the deal there. But I really do miss, the people at KDLT and KSFY. You know, you work with people through thick and thin, which right. is the television and broadcasting and radio and news industry. You get really close with some people. And then when you don't see them every day, it can be pretty tough, you know. And that's, I mean, the people who you work with, you see a lot more than your family, obviously.
Very true.
And so I definitely miss that. And just the art of broadcasting. And it's a lot of fun, yeah. You know. And so...
So tell us some of the types of things you do now in this new gig.
Yeah, well, this is actually the start of, the tail end, excuse me, I forgot it's Thursday, of my third week. So I'm still relatively fresh, but essentially what I'm going to be doing is any big medical story that happens, I would go out and shoot my own video and record any stand-ups and write it and mm-hmm. edit it all together and get it ready for the web. And that's the platform that we would put it out on is on Sanford Health, the website there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Will I ever see you when I'm in Sanford, either myself or my wife, and having a procedure and you have to sit there for an hour or so before everything and you're watching the TV in the room? Are you going to be on the Sanford channel at
so,
all?
So we haven't talked about that yet.
Okay.
You know, we haven't talked
I'd
about
ask
that.
For a raise if you do get on that. You know, that's high profile stuff.
For now, we're just going to be on the web, but okay. That is a discussion that we're planning on having is just how far can we grow it,
right?
You know, and so and if you do find yourself in Sanford, all you have to do is send me a Facebook message and I'll drop by and say hi.
Excellent. Yeah. Will do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because let's see, I've had a knee, I've had a hip, had a toe amputated there. I've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, I've got some baggage with Sanford.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Very true. Yeah. So let's talk about something else. You know.
Yeah, sure.
This podcast is primarily, you know, Sioux Empire, so mm-hmm. a localized podcast, but obviously available worldwide. I think this episode might bring us our first listener in Spain.
I think it will too. I think it will. Kelly Gentry Kaufman over there is if he doesn't listen to this, we're both going to have a word.
We have
with
words.
Him. Yeah.
And I'll never watch another movie for him.
And I did unveil his real middle name. That
yes.
It is Gentry. In case you didn't know that. Yeah, so for those of you listening, my best friend of all time, Kelly Kaufman, we grew up together in Okoboji, and he and I lived in Sioux Falls together for a little while, and got to know Dave and your wife, and now he's over there in Spain and teaching kids English. So that's what he's
doing.
That's
wonderful.
And, yeah.
And you had the opportunity then to travel over there
yes.
last year, right?
Yeah, I did in April. That was the birthday present that I bought for myself was to go see my best friend and travel someplace that I had never been to before. And it was really nice having your own personal tour guide there at all moments. And we had a ball. We almost died, but I think that's...
Is there a story here?
Oh, yeah, there's a story.
Is it tellable?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. I'll make
go,
it tellable. I'll make it.
All
right. So, you know, one of our favorite things that we like to do is hiking and, physical activity and exercise and get the blood pumping and everything like that. It's a good time. Spain has a lot of great hiking trails and opportunities and things like that. So naturally, we were like, okay, we got to do this. And so we take a bus out to, I can't even remember where it was, but about 25, 30 minutes outside of Madrid, a little village, beautiful, beautiful area. And their main draw and claim to fame is the hiking trails. You can go up this mountain. And so we get started, and I have to tell you this right away, the weather was not conducive. I mean, it was 45 and rainy on the ground. And then so as soon as you get higher and higher, that rain turns into snow and ice and sleet and all that jazz. And so we weren't going at the pace required to make the full trip. And the full trip was, I think it was 16-mile hike. So definitely a good jaunt.
I could
up
do
there.
That in a month.
Yeah. we were going along at a snail's pace, and we get to this part where it's either, you know, we got to really kick it into high gear, or we got to turn back down the mountain. And I say to Kelly, come on, man, like, we're not even at the top. We got to keep going. I'm only here every once in a while. I'm not here every once in a while. I'm here once in my life. This guy lives there and he can come here and hike anytime he wants. And he was like, no, I'm the one with the map. And he pulls out this map on his phone where, you know, you can see exactly where you're at. And no, we weren't even at halfway. So something needed to be done. And I was like, okay, well, let's just turn back down and go down this marked trail. And I use the word marked loosely because essentially what you had to do was you look at rocks and find one yellow strip and one white strip. And you go to that rock and then you stop. And then you look for the next one with a yellow strip and a white strip all the way up around this entire mountain. So it takes some time unless you have a travel guide. Kelly, you have to know him. For the viewers that don't, he is one of the most love him to death, stubborn people I've ever met in my life. And he told me that I said, you know, do you think we should get a tour guide for this? And he was like, no, I did it a couple weeks ago. I'm sure I remember. And I was like, well, okay, I trust you. Famous last words. And so we get up to this part and we're like, okay, we got to either turn around or really kick it into high gear. And Kelly pulls up his map and goes, I think if we go off the course here, we'll end up shaving some time off. And I'm like, Kelly, this is how people die. And
I've done stories on this.
Yeah. And he, you know, obviously very bullheaded, bless his big German heart. He convinced me to you know, go his route. And so 10, 15 minutes in, we get lost. And then probably 5-10 minutes after that, you know, keep in mind the conditions are horrendous, right? And so there's this section where you have to wedge your way down in between two big boulders, step onto another boulder before you finally get onto the ground. I go first, and keep in mind it's very wet. My elbows slip together, and then my foot gets caught in between these two rocks that you're supposed to step on, and then I just do a face plant.
Ooh.
And Kelly later told me, I didn't, you know, want to scare you, but it looked like you broke your knee. And I did severely sprain my knee. And, you know, I was hobbling around on this mountain, lost for basically an hour and a half after that. And at that moment, I said, okay, this might be it. Like, this could be it. You know, I was thinking about what I would say in a video to my family. I was prepared to go. Don't read it too far into that. No, I'm kidding. But so then eventually, of course, the end of the story, we found our way. We fought the entire time, as brothers do, and we caught the very last train back to Madrid. But outside of that, the trip was great.
So outside of your big travel last year, first of all, I always like two questions toward the end. Is when you're not being a part of entertainment, what do you like to do? How do you like to be entertained?
Ooh, well, it's kind of the same thing, but music. Mm-hmm. I really, really love music. I got a pretty big record collection right now, and every Saturday morning you can catch me just hanging out, drinking coffee, listening to records, and I'd like to think that I can draw. However, I can't. You know, I can do some lines here and there, but that's about it. Really love, you know, music, drawing, and things like that. And I've just been really into exercise, in particular, the last 2.5-3 years of my life. So if you see some guy running down the sidewalk, it used to be at like midnight. That was me. You know, I'm not crazy. I'm just on a weird schedule.
Very true.
But now I'm not anymore. So this is great. But yeah.
So you can change your track time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To the normal crowd. So still not used to that, actually.
Anything else you would like to do in life?
Oh, man. Run a marathon. I would like to do that. You know, there is something that that one of my good friends kind of put in my ear, and I think at some point I would like to try and do it is actually be a cruise ship performer and singer. I would really like to do that because you know, taking that trip to Spain, really got that traveling itch in me, and nothing makes me happier than singing and dancing like a clown on stage. And I think that would just be a perfect fit. I would really, really like to do that.
Excellent.
As a very selfish, I guess, thing to say. I don't know.
I wouldn't say selfish. That's a goal.
Yeah, it is.
Well, excellent. Yeah. Well,
you got a ways to go, but yeah, we'll get
well,
there.
Well, you're young yet, so you have the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Well, Simon Floss, it's been such a pleasure having
you
here.
Thank you for having me on. I'll come on anytime if you want. So
trust me, you'll be back.
All right.
All right. And looking forward to seeing you again.
Yes.
On the Sunday of the 34th birthday.
Of Alvin
Looking
Fletcher.
Forward to it. Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Simon. We'll have more coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. Guess who I am? Oh, you're a mind reader. I thought you were going to get it. I'm Dave Holly, but we actually do have a mind reader, hypnotist, comedy magician, comedy hypnotist, all-inclusive man of entertainment. Known as Eastonish, but he's Zach Tenebo.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Glad
How are you?
To hear. I'm doing well, thank you. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Because you've been busy because, you know, we'll let people know you started off in magic before moving over to quote-unquote mentalism. And we'll talk about the differentiation and so forth in a bit. And then hypnotism and so forth. But you pulled off the biggest magic trick this past year, didn't you? Just
did.
A few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a dad.
Yeah, November 19th.
Excellent. So. Well, tell us a little bit about the baby.
She's a baby. She poops, eats, and sleeps.
Yep. Well, she's got it down then.
Yeah. She's pretty chill. I think we're pretty lucky.
Good.
Don't have too many sleepless nights, but I definitely feel a little tired.
I can imagine. Has it slowed you down then? Or is it just that you've become more tired because you've had to fit everything you do in? With being a dad.
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
I probably slowed down a little bit on that just to try to adjust to a new lifestyle.
Right.
And starting out, it was feeding her every 3 hours, so. And like having a shift with Heather and who does it. But.
Well, awesome. And so happy. And a little insight for others that know me. You named your daughter Harper.
Harper.
Which is a very special name because that's my granddaughter's name, too.
Yep, Harper.
That's a good thing. All right, so not running yet. You're going to be waiting for all those steps.
Right, it's going to get crazy.
Yeah,
right now,
it will.
Right now it's pretty chill. You just, you know, set her in her thing. And
let her do what she's got to do at this point.
Right, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but once she starts crawling and starts walking, it'll...
Well, we should mention that we are recording this tonight just off to the side of Wood Grain Brewery, which is where we record quite often. We like to give them some props. And then as we look out the window here, Caddy Corner is... the Hotel Phillips.
Hotel on Phillips, yeah.
And you're going to be there starting in March.
In March, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was crazy when you texted me for the location. I was like, wow, we were literally,
we
wanted to talk about the show.
Yeah.
March 12th and then the 26th, and then April 9th is sold out already, which is kind of
cool.
Wow. There was a Wiser Distributing bought all the tickets for their employees.
That's not a bad problem to have,
so,
is it?
Right. I'm like, all right, one of the shows already sold out. But yeah, it's really cool. It's called Deceptions. And like the last public show I had was Superstitions at the Orpheum.
Mm-hmm.
And this show being only 52 in attendance.
Would that have anything to do with the number of cards?
Well, maybe a deck of cards.
Okay.
And you know me and how sleight of hand has always been a big thing.
Right.
And it really gives me a chance to do some material that I wouldn't do on stage at like the Orpheum Theater. Something a little bit more intimate.
All right, so it's going to be an intimate evening.
An intimate evening of magic and mystery, deceptions.
Oh, yeah, we like that part. Any hints as to what types of things besides some card tricks? That we'll be doing then?
So yep, the theme is 52 people, and definitely card tricks throughout the show. Mind reading as well, like you mentioned. And some moments in the show where everyone is kind of a part of the show. So it's not just like a magic show. You go and see the magician do tricks. So I don't want to give away too much, but...
All right. Understand. Yeah. Keep the mystery for it.
Yeah.
How do people go about getting tickets? Let's get them in on that, too.
Deceptionstheshow.com is where they can get tickets. And now through the end of the month, they're $13.
Oh.
So.
Because I'm guessing 13. You probably wanted it to actually be on Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah. So I'm a day off, which sucks.
Dang.
Could have done like a Superstitions Light show for 52.
Well, I'm actually going to be doing some trivia that night. Based off superstitions and
Ooh,
so forth. So
nice.
I'll be thinking of
you. You got
a
sneak peek?
No, okay. Because we just finished what we need for this coming Friday night.
Okay,
This is going to be 80s music.
I would not be good at that.
No. In fact, one of our friends who's a young man, even younger than you, is going to be helping me then do the tallying of the scores and so forth because he said, I wasn't even born in that decade.
Right? Yeah, same.
So we'll have that. And then, let's see, at the end of February, we're doing a farewell to February since this is a leap year.
Okay.
And that might be part of some of the trivia things, too.
Sure.
Right
on.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, so we got it all covered.
Nice.
But I know that you are in favor of dates like that and all sorts of... not necessarily occult or black arts and so forth,
right.
But you do like the mystery part, don't you?
Sure, yeah.
What draws you to that, besides just doing some regular magic tricks for a kid's birthday party?
I guess just the, that's a deep question, man.
Yeah.
So the mystery thing, I guess I've always just my whole life been into mystery and things that are weird. And you know how I've always been obsessed with like Ripley's Believe It or Not since I was a little kid. But I guess as far as just to give for the mystery of a show or in a show, to give people just more of an experience to kind of let loose of their normal day-to-day life that's not just like a kid's birthday party, like you said.
Right.
Something a little bit more sophisticated for... You know,
well, and with a kid's birthday party, the adults are going to be sitting there worried about, okay, what kids wear and all that sort of stuff. This is a chance for them to go out and forget about any bills they owe.
Sure,
and forget about the car that maybe is broken down again, and all those sorts of things. They can sit and be entertained.
Mm-hmm. And oops, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
With that note too, the Treasury, they're going to have the bar upstairs there too, so you can definitely. I'm not sure if they'll have food or anything at that menu, but definitely can get drinks and kind of a couple's night out.
Well, then we know that Jasper Newton, better known as Jack Daniel.
There will be plenty of Jack Daniels.
There will be plenty. Plus, they serve a mean old-fashioned.
Okay.
Oh,
I haven't
wow.
had that there.
You'll have to try it. It's very, very good.
All right.
No doubt about that.
Sure.
But a cool place. I mean, but I've only stepped on the main floor right now, and this is upstairs, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. In the parlor room they have holds about 60 people, but we're going to just do it with 52. But,
right.
Yeah, nice small intimate room. Still fits the whole look of the hotel.
Yeah.
Really classy and stylish looking.
Well, that's kind of interesting that it's called the parlor room, because that is one of the types of magic that is known for those that, look in and delve into magic history, magic styles and so forth. So will it be parlor tricks, though?
So probably some, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. And there'll probably be some things. So with those three dates, the hotel wants to kind of test it out to see if this is a thing we'll do once a month. Maybe this is it. So buy tickets.
Yeah, buy tickets now. Show them that we can do this.
So, but I'll probably mix up each show a little bit.
Okay.
And there might be things that I'll do that I do in a stage show that I'll put into this show. But yeah, there'll be parlor tricks that are more than just a deck of cards.
Right.
But still would be smaller for a small group. But nothing like cups and balls.
Yeah.
Anything like that. But that would be cool. I'd love to do a classic show like that. Maybe someday.
All right. So give us your definition of what mentalism is versus what most people consider magic.
For me, it's more of just the illusion of what mind reading would look like. Kind of the line of a psychological illusionist. Really, gosh, now I'm rambling. I lost my train of thought there. That was such a long word. Psychological illusionist. But it just gives the illusion of what mind reading would look like. Some more mental type of magic and outcomes. Prediction.
And what got you interested in that?
So when I was in high school, we saw, my dad and I went and saw a mentalist. And to me, it just looked like the most real magic. And I don't present it as being real by any means, but it just feels the most realistic or the most powerful, I guess, would be the word I'm looking for.
What makes it work?
Because people want to believe.
I suppose, yeah. But by the same token, you know, what besides that being the impetus, which is a word I have to get in every podcast at least once. The impetus.
The impetus?
The impetus. That's what gives it the basis for the start and so forth. So obviously you have that people do want to believe. But what's the hook for you that you can go, gotcha? Or you're not a gotcha person, though. We don't mean it that way. But that you know it's working.
I guess, what do you mean? I'm still not fully.
Yeah, when you're presenting an illusion or especially a mentalism illusion, when you start to research it and decide that this is something you want to put in your act, besides knowing that people want to believe, what is it that where you go, okay, this is what I know I can do with it, and draw the audience in?
I think it just goes back to being really powerful. And I want it to be really direct. Gosh, I still don't know how to answer that one, man.
Well,
that's a
good okay.
one.
Finally, a stumping question.
A stumping
for the
question.
Mind reader.
You did it. Ding, ding. You should get a prize.
I think I've got some in my bag, maybe.
Yeah. Nice.
Anywho, we've known each other a long time, and I've known you and your family that long as well. Mm-hmm. And you got into magic because Dad is a magician.
Right.
Yeah. A family tradition?
Grew up, for sure, in the entertainment industry. And he would do, he does mostly children's shows, so we'd do elementary schools and libraries, and he would take me out of school sometimes, and I'd help him out.
Oh, bonus,
and,
huh?
Right, got to see the real world and experience it. and just followed in those footsteps, I guess, and always was interested in it.
All right, so at what age did you start?
Ooh. The story I always tell, like, the first time I saw the trick was when I was about 4 or 5 on stage, and he gave me the breakaway wand.
Uh-huh.
And that I also distinctively remember when he pokes the silk into the hand, and we won't reveal it, but probably most people know, you wave your hand over and the silk's gone. That one for sure was the first one I remember, like, learning as a trick. Like, oop, I realized that this wasn't real and that was a trick. Was that the question?
Yeah. So obviously, you learned from him, I'm guessing, I would imagine a son would not say otherwise, that you also admire him.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. But when it comes to learning about magic and when you were getting interested in it and you were, being taught by your father, who were some of the other influences, maybe people we don't know, but also maybe some of the big names in magic that you looked up to?
Sure. So, I then started to spiral off into more mentalism and card tricks, which wasn't his specialty, but he knew good resources and references to look at. So on the mentalism side of things, Banachek is a name that probably some people have no idea who it is. Darren Brown is more known today. Like, he's got some Netflix specials. So I really looked up to his style. Sure, Copperfield's the big dog.
Yeah.
That everybody, I never wanted to do the illusions, but he, his theatrics and show. A lot of influences you.
Well,
you've
thank
always
you.
Been. But yeah, so many. Di Vernon for cards, for sure. Expert at the card table is the Bible for card magicians. Corinda for mentalism. Anneman.
So
I just go on, I guess.
You said you didn't want to do the big illusions and so forth, but what is there yet that you would like to do?
Well, world domination.
You can buy it, apparently.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no doubt. That's a good question. Probably the latest endeavor was a haunted house.
Let's do that as well.
So that was the latest.
Terror 29.
The last thing that I wanted to do that was different and kind of taking a break from a public show. After Superstitions was so really well received, I wanted to take it on the road, and I didn't because I wanted to do something different, so I didn't know what to do. And then 2019, somehow I just got this spark of doing a haunted house and incorporating magic into it. So still taking the magic, passion, but incorporating it into a different It was scaring people.
And is that simply going to be a Halloween time frame that you'll be using that, or will there be other things that will go on out there?
Well, we really wanted to do like a Bloody Valentine this year. Just the practicality of the lot. It's all on grass and we have to get it plowed and it's really cold. And the warehouse side isn't heated. The one side is, but the one side isn't. So those practicality things we haven't figured out. I really want to do a haunted Christmas theme where it's just one day in December, but it's a haunted Christmas. So maybe if the snow hasn't come quite yet. Just some of the lines got up to 2 hours long and people were complaining about how cold it was even in October. So let alone in February where it's even colder.
Did it live up to your expectations? Blow them out of the water? How would you rate it?
I mean, yeah, I don't want to like brag or, you know, anything like that, but definitely went above and beyond where I was like, this is it. This is really cool. And more people showed up than we expected or predicted. The reviews were pretty solid on Google and Facebook. It was cool when you pour, like we spent a whole year on it, and then putting your heart and soul into something like that, that, you know, is only seen for 13 days in October, you know, it was really kind of terrifying to, you put your soul in, like an artist, you're never really done with anything. So to have it be well received was pretty cool.
Will this year's Terror 29 be the same?
Nope.
Or will it change every year?
Yep, it'll change every year. The bulk of it, the abandoned warehouse theme going into the freak show circus theme will stay the same for a long time. But the maze inside will be different. We'll probably change about 30-ish% every year. So it's a little bit different, but still
give
some of the same.
Give it a fresh look.
Yeah.
But obviously not fresh paint.
Nope. The dirtier, the more grungy, the distressed, the better.
There you go. What was your favorite part of it this year?
Definitely the last two nights I had a chance to be in it, because at first I was too busy.
Being administrator, executive.
Right. We all had radios, so we knew if something would go wrong in each room, and so I was running around all crazy. But eventually I had systems in place where if something were to happen, like now down the road, you know, with Harper and Heather, if I had to bail, there has to be something in place where I can, you know, do that. So the last two nights I was able to kind of step back and I got to be Striker, which is a cool silicone clown mask in the haunted house. So that was pretty cool. That would for sure be the most fun.
How much manpower did it take to put this together? Not just, you know, the building of it, but then when it came to, you know, casting and having everybody around for those 13 nights?
Overall, probably about a total of 30 people. About maybe 8 to 10 helped build, and then about 20 or so were actors, and some did both. But yeah, Powerhouse probably about 30.
And they signing on for this coming year as well?
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. And we partnered with Roosevelt's Theater Department, so we got some of those kids, and they thought they could only do it the 1 year. So then we told them, like, no, this is a thing.
Extra credit.
They got super pumped. Yeah, I think they should be getting some extra credit.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So what is it when you're not being an entertainer? What do you like to be entertained by?
Blue Man Group.
True. How many times now have you seen them?
Well, we just saw them in Minneapolis. I think it was 15 or 16 now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm obviously obsessed with Blue Man Group. But in general, movies. Like, I'm still a huge movie fan. Going to concerts, Dave Matthews Band. I was thinking on the way here, I was like, yep, 2008. We went to Omaha, and on the way home, we went a little fast.
It was good time that we made. We'll just put it that way. It was a strong tailwind, Zach. That's what it was.
It was really late at night. You know, we had
Drew,
to go home.
So. It was, yeah, because you were getting tired. I could tell.
Right. Yes.
I wanted to deliver you back to your parents so that, you know, they didn't. But anywho, so yeah, Dave Matthews Band, we've gone to a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great story we'll tell someday about the second one.
Okay, I didn't know if you want to bring that up.
No. We'll hold off on that one. I tell a lot of people individually that one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they find it quite humorous, too.
Sure.
Let's just say that after you've fallen asleep on asphalt for 45 minutes.
Well, it took you about 45 minutes.
Yeah, it takes about 45 minutes to do
that.
We
found out.
And then as soon as somebody sees you asleep on asphalt, they come up and interrupt your sleep.
Thinking
Are
there's
you
something,
okay?
Yeah, is there something wrong with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm just trying to sleep.
Just trying to sleep here, dude. Yeah.
So make sure to comment and like so you can hear if you want to hear part two of the actual story.
Yeah, there we go. I like how you did that. Yeah, you are very big into the social media.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel works best for you as a self-employed entertainer?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. So for Magic Entertainment, Facebook is still, my clients are on Facebook. For the Haunted House, I was mind blown. None of the high school kids have a Facebook account.
Seriously, all Snapchat and so forth?
Instagram, and then TikTok is the big one now.
Okay.
So yeah, I was making all these private Facebook groups for our actors to be on, and that didn't work for the high school kids because they didn't have Facebook. Our demographic for the Haunted House is middle school, high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
We did do Facebook ads, but really a push for Instagram, where the eyeballs are. The demographic, I guess.
All right. So then what about your other endeavors?
Which ones?
When it comes to your after prom parties that you do hypnosis for and so forth, what's best there?
As far as getting the shows?
Just letting people know that, it's an out there thing.
So not, I think it's
not,
a, I think it's
direct
a,
mail or anything
right,
to schools. But.
So for that probably is more of a big picture, and it's just really brand awareness. So I would say for that, all of the channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, any of them that you want to do or be on. I'm doing a show here. Just so you're more top of mind awareness,
right.
And keeping yourself out there. But as far as, I guess, actually the demographics of what you want to target, it was really interesting just with learning with the Haunted House, not to target, on Facebook.
Incredible.
I suppose for and LinkedIn has really been a good one for corporate gigs. It's really one that people kind of forget about. And it's,
true.
It's kind
of. We think of that as just, kind of having a network, not necessarily as a marketing tool per se.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got the new baby you've got things going. I do want to talk a little bit before we kind of wrap things up. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your after prom shows that you do with the hypnosis. How many shows do you typically book starting, I suppose, even mid-March? What's the earliest one yet?
To book or to start performing?
Performing.
Sometimes towards the end of March. This year I don't have one. And then April being the second, or Easter being the second weekend in April.
Yeah, that slowed it down.
Kind of slowed it down and pushed it a little bit. But I think I have 10 right now. Normally I do about 13.
Okay.
So I'm not too far behind. And I got a couple more that I grabbed in May. That I wouldn't have probably normally had with Easter being where it is. It's super fun getting around doing high school post proms and hypnotizing the kids to do stupid stuff.
Right. Well, we didn't mean stupid stuff, but
like chickens. Funny.
Let's give the line that nobody will do anything that they wouldn't be willing to do under hypnosis. Correct?
But a high school kid, that could be a lot.
True. Yeah, that's a wide open gap right there, isn't it? No doubt about that.
It's nothing. There's no voodoo or anything,
Right.
You couldn't make them do something, like you said.
What's the reception from high school kids that don't go up and get hypnotized and they see their friends up there?
Oh, I can only imagine. I can see their reactions and what they like of the show. But knowing, when I was in high school and got to see Jim Wand do our school, I knew everybody up there. So it was a million times better for me, So I can only imagine that's what it's like, for them. But to see them laughing and pointing like, oh, my God. And then to say that person would never do this or that person's super shy is really, fun to see.
So what got you involved in the hypnosis part then?
Jesse Moffitt, who's been on the show, on your podcast.
Yep. And just performed last weekend.
Yeah, I heard my mom didn't quite make it through.
there's story.
Part three. So he was part of the magic club that we had a while ago, and he did hypnosis shows, and I knew that a lot of mentalists always did hypnosis, so I thought it would be a good tie-in, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me what he knew, and that was really how I got started.
What's the toughest part of becoming a hypnotist, though?
Being confident.
Okay.
You have to. So Jesse had some scripts that I memorized, this different inductions that you could use. So starting out, probably the hardest part was just memorizing that script and then doing that. I remember my first show, I'm like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And freaking out. And then nowadays, just being more comfortable with it and knowing the process of hypnosis is really just, it's confidence.
What's the greatest thing you've seen anybody do under hypnosis in one of your shows?
Everyone's a little bit different. So for me, my favorite story is always when somebody doesn't think that they were hypnotized or they don't think the show has started yet. My mom's done that before at hypnosis shows. But gosh, there was one where it's just I try to do improv stuff and to make each show a little bit different. And one of them more recently was her shoe flew off. And in the past, I've done it where they talk into the shoe as like a secret spy agent. So I did that. I was like, oh, your phone is ringing just on the fly. I was like, who is it? And she's like, it's Donald Trump. And then then we just totally had fun playing around with Donald Trump and him blowing up the country. But so that was a little different.
Well, you talked about, you know, people that don't think they've been hypnotized and so forth, because I actually asked you to hypnotize me one time. And I still remember what you asked immediately after. So how long do you think we were going? I said, oh, you know, maybe 10 minutes.
And what was it, like 45 or something?
Yeah, it's closer to an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is, and the part that you always say that, you know, it's a very deep, relaxing, as though you slept well, and that part definitely comes along. But I think one of the funniest things I've seen in your show, not so much a sketch part or anything, is when somebody out in the audience
goes under.
Goes under.
Yeah. Yep. And then it's even more fun at the end of the show. They don't remember, you know, how they got up there. So that's always hilarious. And then it's fun to do something specific with that person too.
Right.
And sometimes now it's kind of the same show. It's just different skits. But sometimes I'll leave them in there in the audience. And then they're doing some of the stuff around there, which is kind of fun. It makes it a little bit more interactive. But
well, you definitely have a lot going on, and especially now that you've got a little family as well. But you continue to prosper and grow in your craft. So beyond all of that, you ever have time for hobbies? Or before a child, did you?
Well, I still play guitar, kind of.
Okay.
And I've done that since about high school, and actually just picked it up today, ironically. It's been a long time since I've touched it, but that'd be a hobby for sure. I still have a crazy, weird obsession with collecting playing cards, so that would be probably a hobby.
How many closets full?
It's a lot less now than nowadays.
Oh, okay.
You use them. What do I have now? I've got like a whole shelf for sure, and then some scattered all around.
All right. Well, good to see you, and as well, thanks for coming
likewise.
On the show.
Yeah, this is
certainly
awesome.
Appreciate it. And again, let people know how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to hire you.
Sure. So some shameless plugs. Check out Terror 29, The Haunted House. If you love Halloween, the handle is Terror 29 Haunt. Going back to social media on everything, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Z-Stonish is on all of them as well. You can go to zstonish.com, terror29.com.
All right, fantastic. Again, thanks for the time.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it's been
it.
Fun. Awesome.
Likewise. And we will be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again for joining us. Drop us a line by emailing DaveHollyHour@gmail.com. You'll also find contact information on the website, DaveHollyHour.com, which is starting to take shape, and we're doing our best to get more things up there for you. From the website, you can also link to the other things Big D Entertainment has to offer. By the way, in terms of the podcast now, we've reached over 1,000 downloads just on Podbean, several more on Apple and Spotify. That's just the downloads number. Doesn't include the streaming. So please, continue to like, share, download, stream, etc. And remember, the great thing about podcasts is that you can listen wherever, however, whenever. One of the cool bits of analytics I did see on one of the pages is that a third of you listen on an iPhone, and then there's a smattering of people that listen on Macs, lots of people on tablets. It was really cool to take a look at that, so thank you, no matter how you happen to be listening. As always, plenty going on around the Sioux Empire this weekend. Starting tonight with Basement Dwellers Improv at Monk's House of Ale Repute. There's also live jazz at R Wine Bar. Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., a pop-up art show at Books and Brews that goes through the rest of the day. Friday night at 8, Where Love Longs to Die, a drag show to cut the heartstrings. That's at Full Circle Book Co-op. I'm going to be hosting 80s music trivia Friday night at Sky Lounge and Tea, starting at 7. Shades is playing at Shenanigans Pub Friday night at 9. Saturday morning at 11:30, it's the Mindfulness Art Activity at Caribou Coffee. Improv Falls is at Open Space Saturday night. Sunday night at 6:30, Cinema Falls presents Citizen K, playing at the West Mall 7. So enjoy Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment this weekend. And until next time, remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.